Greetings and welcome, Kak. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you, Hercules?
I'm also excellent, and I'm looking forward to your show tonight.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I can't wait to introduce you to Diane Wang and all the absolute wonderful things that she does. So I'm assuming she is also on the line with us.
Yes, I am. Hello, guys.
Great.
Hi.
Well, then, let me just tell everybody that Diane Wang is my guest tonight. She is the founder of the Wing Academy of Enfoldment, host of the Wing Academy Radio, author of 9 books, and an experienced guide for those who are willing and ready to see things differently. So her 9 books include enlightening nonfiction, dark fantasy fiction, and cozy mysteries. You can check out all of her books at DianeWingAuthor.com. I'll just give you a little hint here. Some of the titles are The Happiness Perspective, The True Nature of Energy, The True Nature of Tarot, Thorn Manor and Other Bizarre Tales, Trips to the Edge, The Scrolls of Four Winds, and so much more. And, of course, they're all available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever you like to buy your books. Diane's work is about going deeper and seeing the patterns of your life unfold. She has been quoted as saying, "I ask the tough questions that lead you to your true motivation, your true beliefs, and whether they are still valid, given the direction that you say you want to go in." So she sees her role as kind of a Pied Piper. She likes to lead people out of the darkness and allow them to see a more and expansive view of who they really are. So tonight we're going to be talking about her brand new book, the 10th anniversary edition of The True Nature of Tarot. Everybody, please welcome Diane Wang.
Hi, everybody. I am humbled by the intro, and I thank you for your enthusiasm.
Well, you're welcome. And, you know, it's a joy having you on the podcast, and I can't wait to share you and your book with our listening audience. We first met on your podcast when you had me as a guest, and you were such a fabulous interviewer, and I had such a good time that I wanted to turn the tables on you and invite you to be on The Art of Healing. So here you are, and here we are, and yay, welcome.
Yay. So, yeah, I mean, it was such a good time when we did the interview on my radio show, and I'm just happy to be on yours this time.
I want to talk about your book, The True Nature of Tarot. You had asked me to write a blurb about it, so I first saw it in PDF form, and now your book is gorgeous to look at. It has an extraordinary cover, and I like it just as much and probably even more. Tell me about why you originally wrote this, and then we'll get into the 10th anniversary edition.
Sure. So when I first learned tarot, I tried learning on my own using the booklet that came with my first deck, the 1JJ Swiss Tarot, and couldn't understand why the cards didn't really resonate with me. They were a gift from my mother at 9 years old. When I was 9. So truthfully, I never used them professionally, but I keep them as part of my tarot collection. And over the years, I sought other decks and finally took a formal tarot course. And it took lots of study and practice. With 78 cards covered in symbols and cards representing metaphysical laws and being challenged trusting the message, it seemed a daunting system. But it intrigued me and allowed for deep study and understanding. So I wrote the first edition of the book to share the first 20 years of professional experience and understanding that I got to simplify the method and give students a chance to use the cards in their own way.
Wow. So, okay. So it's kind of like a manual to your new auto. You want them to do the driving, but you provide the how-to for them based on your own experience of kind of learning from day one.
Exactly. And, you know, they can look at what I do and how I do it and my methods, but I really encourage everybody to create their own way. Make it your own. Like, don't let somebody tell you there's a blueprint for this. It's metaphysics. There is no tried and true human way. This is the way and that is it, you know. It's really about using the cards to see who you are and how they come through for you. So I'm happy to share all my stuff with readers, and I hope it really helps them. But the goal ultimately is to find your unique way of reading cards.
And I think it's wonderful when anyone's, when any time someone revises their book and makes it the 10th anniversary, the 20th anniversary, it just adds a little bit more, well, my gosh, it's still out there, it is still valuable, and how did you enhance this version? How did you make it, make it the new and improved version?
Lord, this was a labor of love. It really was. Tarot's a dynamic tool, and the more you learn about life and about yourself and the more you study various topics, what you see in the images of the tarot deck shift. So as I shifted over the last 10 years, I wanted to incorporate all of the things I learned with that 10 additional years of practice and client experience and what I learned in general. Because as you grow, the cards reflect that growth. And so I enhanced it with a ton of new interpretations, and especially with tarot combinations in here. And you don't see that in every book. There are some books that dedicate just to the tarot combination interpretations, but I wanted to have it all in one manual, in one place, and I even included meditations for the major arcana cards. And so I wanted people to see how they can understand the cards as part of daily life, how they can speak to those that seek their counsel. A lot more I wanted to share.
Yeah, I just love it because I've taken over the years several different tarot classes and learned a little bit, and I'd pull out the deck and I'd go, now what the heck does that mean? But I've worked with the cards a lot in my lifetime, and I've definitely picked up the energy from the cards. As you know, I'm an energetic healer, so I just do it that way. But I found your book so valuable to me. I just, when I, even in PDF form, I just ate it all up, and it really, really spoke to me. So talk to people who maybe aren't familiar with tarot. How does the tarot help us?
Okay. It's such an amazing tool, and I have a whole section on the psychology of tarot, but for our purposes today, tarot shows us our hopes and fears, and it allows us to test the energies inherent in a situation. So if you're looking at a variety of different paths, you can pull on each path and see what the cards say about the energy. So if I follow this path, what does that look like? And I'm not saying that it's predictive, but rather it shows you energy so you can make a decision about, okay, well, what is it that this path holds for me, and do I want that? So with the cards out on the table, the issues are also easier to deal with. It takes the drama out of the situation and gets to the heart of the matter. So the seeker can see patterns in the cards that reflect what's going on in their life. And then they reveal information about the self and situations not necessarily apparent. So we're shown challenges and how to deal with them, as well as ways to connect to spirit. And tarot is really empowering, in addition to being enlightening, and it promotes deep transformation. So it allows us to connect to the magical side of life and find our ideal path.
Well, that leads me to my next question, which is a lot of people see tarot as like a roadside attraction or a parlor game or something, you know, stage magic. They see that. So how do we communicate? How do we present it in such a fashion that it is transformational, that it is helpful in life? How do you communicate that? How do we change the, the perception, I think, that some people have?
Right, absolutely. And sometimes it's seen as nothing more than a parlor game because those who have no knowledge or real understanding of the cards treat it so superficially. So that would be the experience of somebody, say, you know, walking down the boardwalk, oh, let's get a reading. And that's fine. I'm not saying the boardwalk psychics aren't valid in some way. But to those who are skeptical and don't feel that the card reader has any genuine talent and they feel like it's a scam, so they place no value on that process. And unfortunately, there are still scams out there. I just want to be clear here, so be careful. If you get a reading and they say you're cursed and they can remove it for $1,000, just leave. Like, there are still people that do that. And I just want to warn listeners. But where the value comes in and where it shifts out of that parlor game is that humanity's need to consult occult means of knowing goes back centuries. Think of leaders consulting the oracle at Delphi and know, you know, they want to know if they'll win the battle. So they want to know the future. But the real value in tarot is to understand your current situation and the energies that surround it. We create our ideal future. It's rather than trying to predict it. Nothing's written in stone. We can make a decision. It changes everything. So don't give your power over to it, but you're looking to get information about the things we're not aware of about ourselves or what's going on in a particular situation. And that's the true purpose and the benefit of the cards. As far as being transformational, tarot is a tool of self-discovery. So each time we learn something about ourselves, a personal transformation takes place. And the cards show us where we are on the path and how to navigate that journey. So tarot reflects our progress in the way we see the images. When a deck no longer speaks to us, it indicates a shift occurred. So when you see more in the cards than you did previously, that demonstrates how far you've come and how your understanding has evolved. Does that make sense?
Well, sure. I mean, I'm a big believer that knowledge is power. So the more, whatever your sources of getting that knowledge is, it gives you more personal power to make decisions. So I love the tarot for that reason. Now, do you have to, if you want to be a reader, let's say someone out there is very excited about that. I mean, I think this is the book to buy. But also, do you have to be a psychic before you start studying tarot? Is that a prerequisite?
Everybody, every single person has intuitive ability. It's just a matter of degree. Just like any of your other senses, it's natural. It's inherent in who we are. And so you already have the gift, but tarot can enhance that gift by being able to give you a more consistent way of pulling information. People have different types of information that they can get. Like, you've met the people who 9.5 out of 10 times, they know what gender somebody's baby is going to be, right? I don't have that gift. So everybody has a different type of gift, but with tarot, you can start to move the energy in order to pull information differently. And so eventually, it enhances your natural intuitive ability, even when you don't use the cards. And the more you practice, the stronger your ability becomes. So, but you have to get the right tool, and you have to get the right deck. Tarot isn't the right tool for everyone. Maybe it's astrology. Maybe it's a pendulum. Maybe you just pull it out of the ether. Maybe you're empathic. But once you hit on the right tool, and if in fact it is tarot, it opens up a whole new world in order for your natural ability to come forward.
Do you think that the images on the tarot, the symbols, the archetypal images that are there, do you think they connect with higher energies and reveal things to us from the other world at the time we're doing the reading?
That depends on how the person reads. Archetypes, some people really resonate with archetypes and they can pull that type of symbolism from the deck. It also depends on the deck. So there are actual decks that focus on archetypes, but others don't. It might be, they might be about dragons, or they might be about a particular tradition, spiritual tradition. And so it really depends on the deck itself. And I think that we are connecting other realms, whether or not we're using the tarot. But with tarot in particular, that's why it's so important to get the right deck. Feel the energy of the deck. What kind of information can you pull from it? I've got, I don't know, I don't even know how many decks I have. And I collect them, and not every deck gives me information. Some of them are just beautiful, and so I like to look at the art. But other decks, I pull life path information from. Some decks, I only get health readings from. There's one deck that I use for relationship readings. So it really depends on the deck and the intention of the artist that created it and the author and how they meant the deck to be received and the energy within that deck.
Wow. So how do you go about choosing a deck then? That sounds like an awesome process.
It really is, and that's part of the fun and the creativity that tarot gives. There's an encyclopedia of tarot. I think it said there's 11,000 decks. Well, at the time that that was written, new decks are coming out all the time. And so there are different websites that you can look at all of the cards in a deck, or many of the cards. Like tarot.com features a lot of decks that you can peruse and just see if you resonate with. When you're first starting out, I recommend getting a deck where the minor arcana cards are not just like, say it's the nine of wands, nine rods on the card. Like for a new person, that isn't really going to trigger any kind of information. My first deck was the 1JJ Swiss Tarot again, and I never resonated with that deck. And even after 30 years of doing this professionally and studying it and everything else, I still don't get any information out of that deck. So, you know, some people like fantasy. Some people like it to be more creative, like the Voyager Tarot, where it looks like collages. And even after all these years of using that deck, I still see things I never noticed before. And it gives me information about the person that I'm reading. The other thing is that depending on how you're choosing to use the cards, I like to be collaborative. So I include the client as far as I'll give them, say, five different decks to choose from. And they'll pick a deck that calls to them. Because if they're resonating with it, odds are I'm going to get more information. Now they've connected to that deck too. So the reader connect to the deck, and ideally the client does too. Now, sometimes the reader doesn't like the client touching their cards, or they're the only ones that are really using the cards to get information. And that's fine. Like, there's no right or wrong way to do this. It's what feels right to you. So in that case, the reader really needs to resonate with the deck. And I have to tell you, as you have energetic shifts over time, what happens is a deck may burn out. My very first deck that I used when I was learning in that in the class, when I first started doing readings for other people, after about a year, it burned out and I couldn't get information from it anymore. So then I had to get a different deck. So as you
How
grow,
does the deck burn out? Oh, this is great. How does the deck burn out?
It just kind of, like, you move past it. It's just such a, it might seem a little more superficial. The imagery or the colors aren't vibrant enough, or it depends on the ship that you have. And so that's probably why I have so many decks. And, I mean, I just love the art, yes. But over time, I have changed up the decks that I use because I've had a shift and my energy, my vibrational frequency changes, and so I have to get a deck that is more aligned with the new frequency.
Have you ever wanted to design your own tarot deck?
I actually did. It's not a 78-card system per se, and that's the actual definition of tarot. Because there are oracle decks, there's all kinds of different decks. And I also teach Lenormand. And so I have a deck on my website called Pathways that I offer to people for free. All you have to do is sign up on my website. And it uses the elemental energies plus spirit. And so you're looking at elements and how, if you have too much fire, you're out of balance. So the deck is used very differently than a regular traditional tarot deck. So I encourage everybody to go on my website and check out Pathways. And I built that myself, and it was a learning experience. There are symbols on there. There's magical aspects to that deck, but there's always spirit in that deck. And while spirit is present throughout a traditional tarot deck, I have an actual card for spirit in the Pathways deck. And it's only available online right now.
Aha. Aha. Wow. So that's amazing. And do you use that yourself, or is that just for your clients?
I do use that because it's hard to be objective when you're trying to read yourself. And so because it's online and I can't see the cards, I can connect to it digitally. And then you can also pick the spread. So I pick the spread and then you can select your cards in the system. And so, yeah, it's easier for me to read myself with that than a tarot deck that I use for my clients.
Oh, that is so fabulous. All right, well, let's just tell everybody. Give them the website where they could find that, Diane.
Okay, dianewing.com. And go to the menu at the top, and you'll see free tools, and you'll see pathways, and you can click on that. You can even save your readings. You ask a question, and you can save your readings. So you'll also see the Wing Vibrational Scale quiz on there and also the Wing Archetype quiz as well. But Pathways is the first one under Free Tools.
Wow, that's extraordinary. I hope everybody listening goes there and gets a free reading. I think that's a generous and amazing tool to give people to get started and also to stay on track, to keep that intuitive flow open. I think that's a wonderful thing to do.
It really is. I think people have a hard time trusting it, trusting their own gift. They don't really believe that what they're getting is true, and so they negate it. They kind of push it away. And when I'm teaching tarot, the self-trust aspect is one of the hardest things for students. So you have to trust what's coming through. You have to just say it and don't judge it. So that's the other piece of this, is that you have to make sure that when you get the message, you're taking yourself out of the equation. Don't try to interpret it for the client. Just say what it is. Just say what you got. So when I was first learning, we paired off in class, and I was reading a woman I didn't know before that. And I was reading her, and I said, you know, it's really important for you to keep a journal. Now, there's no journal card in tarot. You need to keep a journal, but don't leave it out. You need to hide it. And I said, I have no idea why I just said that. And she said, oh, I totally know why. Because if my boyfriend found it, we would have a huge fight, and he would react really badly to it. So I was like, oh, okay. But how would I know that? So you say what you're getting, and the person receiving the message, it's for them. It's not for you as the reader. So don't offer the interpretation. It'll dilute the message.
Now, what about I am a Quora contributor on two subjects, so crystals and essential oils. So I answer a lot of questions. And I read a post the other day where a reader posted that she got a very negative reading from a beginner. She signed up and got this beginner, and she got a free reading. And it put her off tarot. It frightened her. It did, you know, all those things. What would you tell her if she told you about this?
Yeah, she's not the only one that's had a bad experience. I've heard this from a bunch of people. And people who are not trained or they went to a quickie kind of course in this, they really need to understand the power that people hand over during a reading. Most of the time, people want a reading when they're uncertain about something or when they're traumatized. And so it's important to sense the energy of the client and make sure they're ready to receive the information. You have to be very careful about how you're imparting the information. I know at least three people who were traumatized from readers in the past. And then at that point, you have to decide, do you ever want to do it again? Do you want to give somebody else a chance? If you decide yes, then the energy from the first reading should be cleared completely from your auric field. And then ask for a referral to a reader who has loving, compassionate energy to have the opportunity to restore your faith in the process, because readers are all different. And if you feel funky energy coming from somebody, either stop the reading or just don't engage in it in the first place, because a reading is an energy exchange. And so if the reader hasn't cleared their own energy, that is part of what the bad experience could be from. And don't give away your power during a reading. You have free will. Nothing's written in stone.
And but isn't a lot it of- also the personality of the person doing the reading, if they're a negative thinker and they think everything is sort of doomsday, that they're probably going to interpret the cards that way, their way, as opposed to someone who is a little bit more optimistic and can see spiritual value in all the lessons in life?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, for practitioners listening to this broadcast, I encourage you to honor the trust your clients give you and share information in uplifting ways that provide hope for the future. But some people, like you said, their just character trait doesn't lend itself to that. And there's no judgment in this, right? Everybody's on their own path. But as the client, you want to make sure that you're aligned with the person you're mingling your energies with.
Yeah, I think that's really true. So now I want to talk about your book now, because it's marvelous, not only for people who would like to become a tarot reader, who would like to explore their own abilities at reading, but also for people who are interested in tarot and would just like a really good read. I think your book does a lot of different things. It even helps people who are experienced tarot readers and gives them new insights and really interesting thing. I mean, it's a book for all seasons, as I feel. So in your book, I noticed that you really walk a beginner through the education of what it takes to be a tarot reader. So you begin with a thing called grounding. So tell us a little bit about your process that way.
Okay, so I find grounding extremely important, and it provides some protection. So if you have energy that's flying around and you're trying to channel energy, it's not really going to work as well as if you're grounded to the earth. So we were talking about not everybody deals with their own stuff before they go out and start reading people, right? So grounding is one way to handle that. So my process includes dumping first. So starting at the head and going all through your body, dumping all the negativity, all the stuff that no longer works for you, all the outmoded stuff, let it just dump into the ground. And stand there until you feel completely empty. And then go at least, do this outside. Don't do that part in the house. Then either move 10 feet away and refill your energy with earth energy, or you can go in the house and do it. But you don't want to walk around empty after the dumping part. So to refill, put your roots down into the center of the earth and pull a bright orange light and pull it up through your body and into your chest and fill it with bright green light at the heart and let that orange and green mix and down your arms and up into your head. And then imagine a giant column of the brightest white light you've ever seen coming down from the heavens, engulfing you. Front, back, side to side, and beam it out. And just make sure that it's all around you and it goes under your feet. And then now you're encased in divine light. So to do that before you do a reading is really helpful. Or even if you're going to just go out into a crowd, doing it before then is really helpful.
How long does your process take, Diane?
You can get faster the more you practice. So the advanced method, and I go into great detail in the book, is, I don't know, it could take 10 minutes depending on, or longer depending on how much stuff you need to dump. So
yeah.
There are quick grounding methods where if you start to feel anxiety coming up, like if you're empathic and the person you're reading has kind of anxiety and depression and you might be feeling that, just feel your feet on the floor. And that's an instant grounding technique. So, but the advanced technique that I highly recommend, you can get very fast with it once you get the hang of it. It doesn't have to take long. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and it's very important, that whole cleansing process and regrounding and establishing is very, very important. And it's like, you know, you always want to put your mask on first in the airplane and then help others. So I think that's the real metaphysical way to do that. So I also loved how you walk people through how to set up for a reading. Once you've grounded and you are back in yourself and not in your mind isn't, you know, on the groceries that you have to go pick up after the reading. Once you're there and present, now you want to set up the reading in a special way. Give us an overview of what that looks like.
Okay, well, first, I ask Infinite Spirit to give me the information that's for the highest good and that will help me, if I'm doing myself or someone else, to move forward in positive ways. And so it's connecting to source because that's where the information's coming from. So that's my first recommendation. And then I shuffle. I don't raffle the cards, like bend them. Not only are they expensive, but it's harder to put the energy of the person on the cards doing it that way. So I just manually shuffle, and then I give like a 7-card initial overview, and I let the client pick that, even if it's over the phone. And then we do the overview, and then we drill down and we ask specific questions. As far as the spread itself, the cards dictate to me how I need to lay them out. And
really?
Because I do it so that they touch each other, there are energetic patterns that I can see in the spread. And I have diagrams in the book, so that's it's clearer. But you have to, like, say 5 cards are pulled, and it might guide me to put 2 at the top and then 3 across the bottom, all corners touching. And that might indicate that there are 2 different issues going on with the person. Each of the 2 cards at the top are connecting to the bottom 3. So it's really an individual process. Not everybody likes to do it that way. People like the Celtic cross. I find it to be limiting because the cards aren't touching. Each piece of the spread is specifically indicated as an aspect of the person. And to me, I would just rather have a free form spread so that we could get the maximum amount of information instead of beginning, ending, like, you know, like that, so specific.
Got it. Wow. Okay. So how long does a typical reading take usually?
That really depends. Most of the time, it's an hour because you follow, you go down the rabbit hole. You think you want to know one thing, and then you start pulling cards. You're like, oh, well, this is taking us in this direction. The cards have their say. The questions we ask aren't always the information that we're supposed to get. And so it's fascinating to see what information comes through, and when cards keep repeating themselves, the same cards keep coming up, giving a message that you didn't even know you needed. So it's amazing. And even 30 years later, I'm fascinated when that happens. It's like replicating the experiment.
What's the most, let's say, just interesting reading you've ever given?
I can't think of a particular one because they're all so unique, but the ones where life path is what the person really needs to find out, they're confused about their journey. They thought it was one thing, and they're not sure what it might be, but what they're on isn't working for them. And so the cards are really a good way to test different paths. And when they see it out in front of them, it's just amazing how the cards can say, you know, here is your natural gift and your natural way of being. And let's see how you can use that in your work, if that's what it's about, your vocation or your volunteer, or how you can bring your gifts to the world. It's amazing how people go, you know, I knew that I had that ability, but I never really did anything with it. I just thought everybody could do it, so it wasn't that special. And so when we validate for that person that what they've known all along was their true path, they're like, oh, it takes the weight off. They feel so much better about themselves. They feel better about some of the things they thought they should pursue but thought, nah, that can't be right. But the cards confirm it for them. So a lot of times the cards are speaking to the person's natural tendency and what they've always thought to be true about themselves. It's just, it's a shame that we have so much doubt. We don't trust our own, our inner guidance. We don't trust it. And that's when people come for readings. So it fascinates me every time when that comes up and they confirm it.
Well, it's good to have an objective opinion. You know, someone else recognizes it in you, and then all of a sudden you go, oh, yeah, okay, really? You can see that too? I think it's helpful. It's a you know, nice mirror to have at our disposal. You do cover an area in your book which I really love, and it's all about ethical considerations. Why is that important?
For the reason that when you brought up, that person got scared from that beginning reader. There are certain ethical points that every reader should follow, and that is make sure that you honor the person and remind them that they have free will, that these are some of the potentialities that come up in the cards. Don't scare them. Don't get into your own power and try to direct somebody. That's up to them. You're there as a channel to provide the information and allow them to decide what to do with it. That's it. And so you have to keep it confidential. You know, you don't tell other people what happened during the reading or what information came through. That's up to them to decide whether or not they want to share that. And a lot of people don't want to. And so you're holding confidences for people, giving them power. You want to empower them with the information. You don't want to take them on a journey of that increases their doubt or their fear. Because a lot of times the cards show somebody's doubt and fear and uncertainty. But it also shows their hopes and dreams. So you want to say, you know, frame it in such a way that, okay, you're hoping that this happens. But if it doesn't, here's where you can go instead. Or there are other opportunities. This isn't the only path that's available to you. Right? And so ethically, the work is to be a clear channel in order for people to benefit for their highest good. So important. And then you don't have, and being upset, because it's very impactful to have a bad reading.
So what if somebody says to you, Diane, tell me what to do. What should I do?
Yeah, that's not up to me. That's not up to me. We can ask another question. Let's ask, what's the energy if you follow this path? What's the likely energy if you follow a different path? You know, or we drill down even without the cards and say, what does your gut tell you? Or where does the idea of doing that hit you in your body? Because the body tells you all kinds of stuff intuitively. And so I guide them to understand it within themselves. That's not up to me to tell them what to do. That's unethical.
Great. Okay. Now, in your book, again, you give a great overview of what's in the deck, and then you go into associations with the cards. And I really, really love your presentation of the major arcana. I love that. And then you follow it, of course, by the minors. And I think just the way you handle each card, you bring insight, you bring depth, you bring, I don't know, just kind of a grounded, basic conversation about the cards. There isn't any confusion. And that's what I love about it. It's clear and it's open, and it's like you're having a conversation with your reader. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Okay, so every card represents an aspect of life and how we interact with the divine, the challenges we face. And so what I tried to do in my interpretations of cards was to help people use them in everyday life. And so what's great about them is I can, well, I put in contemplations after each major. And what people can do is they can associate what they're trying to do in their life with a card. So when you have that representation, it's so helpful to meditate on it. And just because what I wrote, you know, if you resonate with that, that's great. And I love that you do. And a lot of that stuff was channeled, but that was channeled to me. I want readers to also open to their own interpretation and channel your own understanding of what the card indicates. So the Hermit is one of my favorite cards, and there are more modern decks, but the traditional image is a man standing on top of a mountain holding a light, shining it for others. And so if you're, say, somebody who is trying to innovate a process or come up with a new idea, that's a beautiful card. That's showing the way, the light for others to follow. If you meditate on the Hermit and the light in his lantern, that's your light shining the way for others. And isn't that a wonderful image to hold when you start to feel doubt? So the cards are very personal, and the meanings of the cards are very personal. But you can call up any card at any moment, once you know them well enough, and go, you know, that's the energy of, say, the Tower. So the Tower card, people are like, oh, no, the Tower, it's horrible. But what happens is you start to realize that that's when the universe has been tapping you on the shoulder saying, don't do that, don't go in that direction. It's better if you go over here, but you ignore it. And then everything just blows up because now you're at the point where everything just has to be reset. And so when that happens, instead of going into despair and having drama around it, you go, that's a Tower card. Why didn't I listen to myself?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, boom, crash, darn. Well, and then I love what you do after you represent all of the cards. Then you go into other things, like, say, you get the King of Cups with the Magician, and then there's an interpretation in your way of the cards touching. That means something different than if you just got the King of Cups and you just got the Magician. So tell me a little bit about that.
Exactly. So because I read with everything flowing together, it's hard sometimes for especially new readers to look at the cards not as individuals but as a combined meaning. So I offer at least three interpretations for all the combinations of it's all the majors with the majors and all the majors with all the minors. So it was quite a task, again, labor of love, and to help people see and fill in the gaps of information. So in the example of the King of Cups with the Magician, this might indicate a male in your life that's really supportive and has helped transform you, which is the Magician card. So the supportive energy, the emotional support from the King of Cups, an older male coming through as the Magician, that transformational kind of energy helping you along, right? Now, there could be other interpretations of that combination, but that's just an example. So I think it's really important to study the cards individually and then take a look and say, okay, well, what can this mean together? What do these two mean together? But again, I read, you know, seven cards. You could even read more altogether. But some people only like to stick with maybe three to get an answer, especially initially. So just take your time and build up to more. But you can ask a question and just pull two cards and see, what do you feel about the answer for both separately, the two cards you pulled separately, and then also try to combine them and see what you come up with. And you'll find that there's a richness that doesn't come through when you just look at it as individual cards.
Well, and that's, you know, going back to my original claim, I love this book. I think it's the only book in the world for tarot, for anyone who's interested in it, for anyone who wants to study it, for anyone who wants to read, or for anyone who wants to improve their reading abilities. This is the book. It's called The True Nature of Tarot, and it's by our guest tonight, Diane Wing. It's a fabulous book. I think everybody, every metaphysician ought to own it, and at least create a meditation practice by meditating on each of the cards. I mean, why not? It could only improve your life. Now, if people want to take classes from you, if they want to reach you, Diane, tell us about what you offer and where they can find you.
Yeah, everything is on my website. So DianeWing.com is where all my classes are, my radio show, Pathways, and I announce live classes too, so if you join my community, you'll get updates about that kind of stuff. You can get my books. You can look at all my books on DianeWingAuthor.com, and I send out when there are discounts for books, when a new book comes out, so if you join that list separately, you'll get that information if that's what you're interested in. Also, I do life path coaching, so I have all kinds of transformational packages on there. The classes I do are both live and self-guided video. There are actually some free classes, video classes on there. So there's a ton of free stuff that you can tap into on DianeWing.com. And, you know, take advantage of it. Enjoy it. There's tons of blog entries. And so I hope that people go there and benefit from it and learn a little bit. And then you can always email me through there if you have any questions about what you've read or what you're struggling with.
Well, I can't thank you enough for being with us tonight. You are an extraordinary person, a brilliant teacher, and a wonderful author, and you add richness to this planet that is so deep and so kind and so amazing. You're one of the most inspiring people I have ever met, and I want to thank you for spending this hour with us. Thank you, Diane.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure.